Jeff Chester is the executive director of the Center for Digital Democracy. Jeff, what changes have recently occurred in media ownership, and how do those changes affect the consumer, the citizen, the listener, or the viewer?
Well, the biggest media companies in the country, and now there are really just five that control the majority of what we see on broadcast and cable television. These big media companies and FCC Chairman Michael Powell want to do away with the handful of remaining safeguards that have protected the public in terms of corporate media power. For decades, policymakers have recognized the need to restrain the power of these media giants to ensure that there can be more owners and more voices. But what we're about to see is an unprecedented consolidation of control over broadcasting, newspapers, cable television, and even control of the Internet itself.
Let us begin then with the broadcast media. How has there been a conglomeration in both radio and television?
Well, since the 1980s, the broadcast industry has lobbied to eliminate any of the rules that have restrained it from owning as many broadcast outlets as possible. And there's been concentration generally when Ben Bakdikian, the former dean of the UC Berkeley School of Journalism, wrote his first edition of his now classic book, Media Monopoly, back in the early 1980s. He chronicled 50 U.S. companies that control the majority of the U.S. media system. When its most recent edition came out 2 years ago, we were down more or less to just a dozen. People are aware that the broadcast networks, CBS and NBC and ABC and Fox, have grown larger. They've been able to own many more stations. But there are still a lot of stations they don't own. And what they want to do now is gobble up almost all the other television stations. They want to allow one network like Fox to buy another network like ABC. They want to be able to own newspapers and cable systems and radio stations in the same community. And we've already seen what's happened with radio since 1996, when the media lobby was able to get Congress to pass the Communications Act. Two giant companies, Clear Channel being the largest, have swallowed up almost a quarter of all of the radio stations. So what's happened with radio, the clear channelization, this homogenization of radio, is about to happen with television as well.
What is the effect of a grouping of ownership within a few corporations? How does that lack of ownership diversity affect the content that people can view or listen to?
Well, I think one of the biggest dangers here is that a handful of giant companies will control all the outlets. It'll be harder to get alternative messages out. I mean, that's why there's tremendous amount at stake for progressives. Progressives already have a hard time getting their message out. They're going to have an even more difficult time as these four or five big companies swallow up not just old media, but control much of the future of the Internet itself. As the Internet evolves into a broadband high-speed medium, these big media companies have their eye on it and are lobbying so they can control the future evolution of the net. So unless progressives intervene, our messages are going to be further marginalized. And these big media companies want to create a system that is solely focused on the needs to promote advertising and marketing. I call it the brandwashing of America. We are in danger of seeing an entire generation of Americans being raised in this very powerful electronic media environment controlled by more or less four companies, only focused on encouraging self-satisfaction and consumption. There are real dangers here. Without a public policy to ensure there can be others who can own major media outlets, without a policy to protect the future of the Internet, then we, the progressive community and others who are concerned about the future of our democracy, will be further cut off.
You're suggesting that broadcast will become less nutritious politically. What does it mean for artists and creators who are trying to present their messages as well?
Look, the FCC and the media lobby are playing a tremendous game here. They point to cable and they point to the internet and they say, we don't need any more limits on how many television or radio or newspapers one company could own, because there are plenty of ways for people to express themselves using these new alternative media. But the fact of the matter is they have lobbied already and are lobbying to change the very structure of cable, to change the very structure of the internet. Artists and other creators who right now rely on the internet are going to find very soon that the internet begins to reflect the economics of today's traditional media. Only those with tremendous resources will be able in the future to effectively stream their messages to users. These big media companies want to create an electronic toll booth over the internet, and indeed Michael Powell is going to permit that. Last March, the Federal Communications Commission under Powell approved a new policy for cable broadband that will eventually affect DSL, telephone-based internet access as well, that will allow these corporate giants to place a new lock on the diversity of the internet. That's why artists have a lot at stake here.
Commissioner Powell, the head of the Federal Communications Commission, says that there is indeed increased communication because of the advent of the new technologies. But with those new technologies, DSL, internet, broadband, is there an analogous conglomeration of ownership, and does that offset the competition to which Powell refers?
Well, absolutely. This is where Michael Powell, the chairman, is being intellectually dishonest. He and the big media companies know very well that the new policy on the internet that the FCC has embraced will allow basically two major cable companies, Comcast, which just swallowed up AT&T, and AOL Time Warner. Those two companies will control, for the majority of Americans, the future access to the internet. The internet is going to increasingly become under the control of these very same corporate giants. So you have the very likelihood that in one town soon, if Michael Powell has his way, in a single community, one company will be able to own several TV stations, several radio stations, the newspaper, the cable system, and become the principal internet service provider as well. Tremendous political power in the hands of a few companies, all focused simply on marketing and advertising, no public interest or public service requirements, and, perhaps more importantly, no policy to prevent these giants from discriminating against any content provider, including nonprofits.
How does that affect the traditional safeguards the FCC was entrusted with to provide competition, diversity, and localism? And how would the proposed changes affect that mandate?
Well, the media lobby, Fox and GE, NBC, and Viacom, CBS, and Disney, ABC, have tried to undermine these FCC safeguards over the last few years. They've gone to Congress, and more importantly, they've gone to the courts. And they have gotten the courts to tell the FCC that it needs to prove why these rules, these safeguards, are still necessary. Now, under the Republicans and Democrats, the Federal Communications Commission is basically still an appendage of the media lobby. The FCC is incapable of really representing the interests of the public, in part because there's a revolving door. There's no former chairman of the FCC who is not working in one way or another for the media companies they used to oversee. So the FCC has to come up with a new policy rationale for why these safeguards are necessary. But frankly, they are constitutionally incapable of doing so. Michael Powell doesn't see the need for any rules whatsoever, which is why we think the public, and we hope that your listeners will contact their members of Congress. Unless people in Congress speak out, and right now we're not even hearing really from liberal or progressive Democrats, unless members of Congress speak out and tell Michael Powell to stop, slow down, reconsider these radical proposals, then we will see sweeping changes in our media system that will make the goals that progressives have for a greater democratic society much more unattainable.
Jeff Chester, are you suggesting that the proposed new rules at the FCC would be to eliminate the enforcement of rules as they have traditionally been known in broadcast and communications?
What Fox and NBC and Viacom have just told the FCC in this proceeding is to end all of the public interest rules on media ownership. And of course, this is a good example of the kind of arrogance and corruption we have with our media politics today. These networks have received all of their licenses for free. They've gotten big hunks of the public spectrum, yet they're now saying, well, now that we have ours, we don't think we should abide by any of the safeguards or rules at all. So, yes, we are likely to see a sweeping overhaul of all of the rules at the FCC, if not this year, then in the next few years, in the absence of advocacy. Progressives traditionally have not focused on media politics, yet we've been concerned about issues like civil rights and the environment and health care. But the future of those issues ultimately depends on our ability to get our messages out in the media, both in the mainstream and new media as well. And unless we intervene here, as I said, our voices will be dimmed as this growing commercial colossus places a stranglehold over all of the media outlets, both old and new.
In considering the relationship between broadcast and broadband, I'd like to look at another synthesis here between broadcast and an even older technology, that of the print and the press. How does the ruling in regard to ownership affect the ownership of newspapers and radio and TV stations, and what social effect does that have?
Well, one of the most important safeguards still on the books is the rule that prevents a single company from owning a TV station and a newspaper in the same town. A quarter century ago, people at the FCC, actually a Republican chairman, thought that was very dangerous if a single company could control the two most important outlets for information and public expression. Almost all the media companies, including the New York Times, which is still not reported on its political lobbying at the FCC, all the big media companies are asking that that rule be overturned. So you're very likely to see soon companies being able to own the newspaper and the TV station and several radio stations in the same town, more homogenous news coverage, fewer resources for reporting, because they're not going to add reporters to the TV station and the newspaper. They're going to add reporters to where they make the most money. And the danger here is that newspapers will more and more begin to reflect the journalism of if it bleeds, it leads television. And so we'll all be much poorer for it.
Are there any empirical studies that demonstrate the effects on journalism of consolidated ownership?
Well, I hope that your listeners will go on to the website of the Writers Guild of America West, that's WGA.org, or my own website at democraticmedia.org, and read some of the public interest filings. The Writers Guild of America West filing, which represents all the people that write for television and movies in this country, they're saying there's no competition and diversity whatsoever. In terms of the newspaper, the future of newspapers, the Newspaper Guild and others have filed that chronicle well the evisceration of the quality of journalism because of media ownership and consolidation. So there's plenty of information out there. The problem is that Michael Powell simply doesn't really want to pay attention to it because it doesn't fit in to his own ideological blinders, which is why we need listeners to contact Congress and have members of Congress yelling and screaming and saying, this is an important issue to me. We need to have more research, more analysis, more debate. Stop this unprecedented giveaway to the media giants.
What is the relationship of the Federal Communications Commission to the operation and content of the Internet?
Well, the Federal Communications Commission ultimately regulates the plumbing, so to speak, of the Internet. I mean, the Internet grew up as a medium that was specifically designed to be part of the telephone network. The people that, in part, designed the Internet envisioned it as this kind of open, non-discriminatory network, recognizing that as the Internet traveled over the telephone line, that was the perfect medium to promote openness and democracy, because the telephone lines are required by rules of the FCC to act in a non-discriminatory manner. When you make a phone call, you don't have a big cable or broadcast company saying, hey, you can't make that call, or I'm going to slow down your phone call and make my call the fastest. Well, the FCC is abandoning that kind of neutral architecture as it regulates the future of the Internet in the broadband environment. Very soon, the dial-up Internet that most people now use will become like the dirt road, for good or for bad. Broadband, this high-speed multimedia service, will be the dominant medium in terms of the Internet. The biggest cable companies and the biggest telephone companies have lobbied the FCC and are securing new policies from Michael Powell that will allow them to control the future of the Internet's digital destiny. Big cable companies will be able to speed up access to their websites and slow down access, say, to Pacifica's websites in the absence of a public policy. Now, the ACLU and many public interest groups, including my own, have taken the FCC's new proposal on broadband cable to court. But in the absence of activism, the Internet is going to be placed on the endangered media species list soon.
Are you suggesting that that single ownership could lead to discriminatory browsing?
Oh, there's no question that the vision that the big media companies, particularly companies like Comcast and AOL, Time Warner, have for the future of the Internet is to create what I call a paper packet or pay-per-view environment. The whole AOL merger, despite the downturn in the stock market, is based on that kind of theory, and so is Comcast's merger with AT&T. These big media conglomerates plan to impose a new business model in Internet access that will charge all websites if they want to be transported efficiently down those private wires. So we're going to see further privatization of the Internet, a new pricing structure that will make Internet services much more unaffordable for progressive and alternative sites.
Are there examples or types of Internet behavior that a person might even now notice as they click through websites?
Well, you already see that the big media companies can afford to store their content, it's called caching, in order to make that content.
That would be C-A-C-H-E, not C-A-S-H, or maybe
that's
it
right.
Is both.
It's both. It's cash and carry, yes. But look, you're not seeing this yet per se, but this FCC rulemaking, the big media mergers going on like Comcast, the lobbying on the future of the Internet is all part of a plan that will allow a handful of media giants to control both old and new media and to reshape the new media in particular to reflect the economics that best favor their own interests. On my website, for example, democraticmedia.org, they will see already cable industry plans to begin imposing this kind of pricing structure over the Internet.
Well, as this conference proceeds and as the Federal Communications Commission proceeds with the proposed rulemaking changes, how can citizens and those concerned about diversity and access bring together the issues of a regulatory body and the constitutional issues, such as those that were raised in the case of Associated Press v. U.S., that resulted in a ruling that said that freedom to publish means freedom for all and not just for some. Freedom to publish is guaranteed by the Constitution, but freedom to combine to keep others from publishing is not. How does one bring the regulatory process back in line with the constitutional process as rendered in that ruling?
Well, this is really a battle about what the First Amendment really means for citizens and others in the United States. If Michael Powell and the big media companies have their way, then the public will simply be treated as consumers with no First Amendment rights to a diverse media system, and there'll be a degradation of journalism as well. It will no longer be a watchdog, which it occasionally is. It'll be more of a lapdog. This policy will affect every community. It will affect how information is transmitted, the kind of coverage we have, the checks on private and public power. So the public really does need to get involved. There are many ways they can express themselves personally through websites such as my own or Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting's website, fair.org. They can file at the Federal Communications Commission. We have until February 3rd. They can write and contact their members of Congress. But they really need to urge their local officials to hold the town meeting. What does all this mean for their community? Will their community be a place where there is some kind of media democracy, or will it just have cookie-cutter journalism and entertainment all controlled from Madison Avenue in Hollywood?
Thank you very much. Our guest has been Jeff Chester, the executive director of the Center for Digital Democracy, which, at least for the nonce, is browsable at the web address of democraticmedia.org. I'm Robert Knight in New York.